Oh,
was
the
bolt recording?
Yeah, it's fine. Tonight I want to speak about the din that one is supposed to place their Chanukiah, their Neros Chanukah, on the left side of the entrance to their home, and the mezuzah is supposed to be on the right. It's a din that's formulated as Ner Chanukah Mismol u'mezuzah Miyamin. We're more familiar with the fact that on walking into a home or any entrance, that the mezuzah is on the right, but perhaps less familiar with the halacha formulated in the context of the laws of Chanukah, that just as we have the mezuzah on the right, we should have the Chanukah on the left. What exactly is that halacha telling us? It's formulated and codified in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tafresh, Ayin Aleph. I want to speak about that halacha a little bit with you tonight. I should welcome, before I begin, everyone, you know, the regulars and also the guests, I guess, to the Chanukah Shir. It's a great opportunity, for me at least, to be able to welcome in Chanukah even earlier this year, as if like 8 days wasn't enough. You know, we're already starting Chanukah, even though, of course, as you know, eating latkes, it's not Chanukah yet. If you're medayik in the flyer, though, that Joey made, Joey, you're the one that made it, right?
Yes.
It's a great flyer. So in Joey's flyer, he didn't write a pre-Chanukah shir. He wrote a Chanukah shir. So on some level, even though it's not Chanukah, it is Chanukah, we're already, you know, celebrating in some way by having a shir on the topic. But all joking aside, hopefully it does set the tone for us, you know, to experience it properly come Sunday night, you know, and the entire 8 days, we'll really be able to hit the ground running. What's extremely unique about the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, and also mezuzah, they're kind of two mitzvahs that are different than every other mitzvah in the Torah. Particularly, like, with regard to the fact that there are obligations which obviously devolve on the individual to perform a certain act, in mezuzah to put it up, and in Neros Chanukah to strike a match, light the candle. But in addition to being mitzvahs that have a ma'isa mitzvah, there are also mitzvahs where the placement of those objects seems to be like indispensable, almost like part of the mitzvah itself. In other words, it's not just enough to perform the act, but it matters where exactly you place it. When it comes to mezuzah, putting the mezuzah, hey Benji, when it comes to mezuzah, putting the mezuzah on the right side of a person's doorframe, of course, is ma'akev. If you put it up somewhere else on the house, you have a special place that you like, you want to hang up the mezuzah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of mezuzah. The question is whether or not, there's actually a debate about this, the same would be true if you don't put the Neros Chanukah in the proper place. But leaving aside the question of l'chatzila, b'di'eved, although of course it's b'di'eved when it comes to mezuzah, the idea that we care about where the object itself stands, on top of what you've already done, what you've already put in, the action you already performed, is something noteworthy and therefore important for us to understand. If you look in the Gemara Menachos, it's actually what some of the guys know, that's the Masechta I'm actually learning this year. Good way to get that in. If you look in source number 5, these are just to gloss over. They're not to read, you know, with so much, you know, mental energy. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, mitzvah lahanicha, referring to a mezuzah, betoch chalalo shel Pesach. There's an obligation to place the mezuzah in the hollow space of a door. In other words, imagine the door frame. You have to, imagine a mezuzah. That's how we paskin. You have to actually put it inside of the door. Not on the outside, on the sides of the door frame, but mamish, inside of the door frame. That's a mitzvah. The Gemara continues and says, of course, pshita bisharecha amar rachmana. That's the Gemara. The Gemara continues. In a similar Gemara, on the next daf, again speaking about the importance, mitzvah, think about the language. It's like a mitzvah, that's where you place it. So similarly, the Gemara says, amar rava, in source number 6, mitzvah lahanicha betefach hasamach lirshus harabim. Not only is it a mitzvah to put it inside of the hollow frame, but to also put it as close as you can on the door frame, adjacent to the public thoroughfare, the Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, what is this? And you think about how small a door frame is in terms of the width, So it's saying to put it on the part of the doorframe that's the closest to the exit. If you, this is not how you did your mitzvahs in your apartment, don't start freaking out. This is not halacha lemaisa, at least not. I mean, we may paskin this, but this year is not intended to be only practical. Zimor asks, and like a tefach is just a very, very small, you know, number, a couple of inches. My taima, Rabbanan Amri Kedesha Yivka B'mezuzah Miyad, if it's on the most exterior part of the doorframe, it's the first thing you'll hit. Not like physically, you won't run into it, but it's the first thing you'll encounter when you walk through the door. We want it to be the first thing you see when you come home from a long day. Rav Chanina Misura Omer Kihechi Ditintere, so that it protects a person. We want to protect every square inch of the house. So you want to put it on the extremity, on the exterior, so that the entire home is protected. Whether that's physical protection or spiritual protection, clearly the placement of the mezuzah is critical. Mitzvah lahanicha is a phrase that applies by mezuzah. But if you look, this is my ha'ara completely. In the Gemara and Shabbos, when it talks about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, it's striking how parallel the language the Gemara employs with respect to Ner Chanukah is. You look in source number one, the Gemara says at the end of the line, this is Tzuras Hadaf, the actual page. Tanu Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah mitzvah lahanicha. It's almost like, what are we talking about? Like deja vu a little bit. You know, not everyone learns these two Gemaras next to each other. You know, you're learning Shabbos one, your Menachos is all the way at the end of Shas. But if you place these Gemaras next to each other, mitzvah lahanicha, al pesach beso mi bachutz, there's an obligation, of course, to place the Ner Chanukah at the entrance, on the outside. Anyone know why that is? Pursumei Nisa. We want people to see it. That exactly is how Rashi explains it in source number three. Im hayadar ba'ali, if you live in an apartment, you live high up, so then it's fine. Menicho bechalon hasmuchol versus harabim. That's your version of Pursumei Nisa. But the lechatchila is you have a house, you have a space on the ground, you put it right outside of your house so that everybody can see it. But just the language and the it says mitzvah, not just a detail. It's like a special requirement to, that's where you should place it. And then if you look in source number two, Amar Rabba, Ner Chanukah mitzvah lahanicha, b'tefach hasmucha lepesach, a different Gemara, Amar over, to put it an inch away from the actual door. Not just that the public should see it, but it should be an inch away from the door. Now why is that? We're going to have to get back to that. Why is it important? We know why you have to put it outside. Because of Pursumei Nisa. We're all familiar with Pursumei Nisa, the publicized the miracle. But why do you have to put the narrow Chanukah, a tefach? You know how little a tefach is? It's marginal. So close to the door. But what I want to use this Gemara before I get back, that's the question we want to try to figure out, is the parallel language of the Gemaras. And clearly this emphasis that it's not enough just to strike the match and light the candle, but it matters precisely where you put those Neros Chanukah. Just like in mezuzah, so too in Neros Chanukah. Why do we care so much about where you place it? Why is it not just enough to light the Neros? So I want to circle back to this rule that the Gemara formulates. The Gemara says, in the end, we'll read it right now, Ner Chanukah mismol mezuzah miyamin. Somehow there's like this imagery we're supposed to have that you have like your Ner Chanukah on the left side, this is for you, the left side, and your mezuzah on the right. What's the relationship between the placement of Ner Chanukah and the placement of the mezuzah? Why do you have your mezuzah on the right and why Ner Chanukah on the left? So I want to try to develop three perspectives, just speak about them outside basically, as to what, how the Mefarshim understood the significance of placing the Neros Chanukah on the left side of the door. And what does that tell us in a bigger way about the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah? If you go back to this Gemara that I just read, source number two, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Ner Chanukah, mitzvah lohanicha betefach hasmucha lepesach. To put it, that tefach away from the door. Behecha manach, the Gemara asks, where Which side? Rav Acha Berei de Rava Amar Miyamin. One day is to put it on the right side. You know, that of course is where the mezuzah goes. And Rav Shmuel Midifti Amar Mismol. They don't say why their opinions are what they are. But you have two shittos. One says on the right side, one says on the left. The Hilchasa, the Gemara rarely will, but will still, sometimes tell you how it's designed to paskin. The Hilchasa Mismol, we paskin that you put it on the left side. And here is where the Gemara, for the first time, interestingly enough, interjects a reason. Why put it on the left? Kidei shetehe nerchanaka mismol umezuzah miyamin. So that the mezuzah is on the right and there is chanaka on the left. Mezuzah mandekar shemei. Who is talking about mezuzah in this Gemara? Mezuzah never came up. The Gemara is talking about Eros Chanukah, and it felt the need to mention where mezuzah's placement is to highlight to us where Ner Chanukah should be placed. Right and left. The yin and the yang. What is the relationship between these two objects, these two mitzvot? So the Mephorshim kind of took three approaches to this question. Rashi kind of downplays this entire Gemara as far as the relationship between Chanukah and mezuzah. Rashi says, why does it have to be a tefach away from the door? He says, it just relates to the Gemara from source number one. If it's too far away from your door, Rashi is saying this in source number four. You can read it if you want. If it's too far away from the door, no one, the onlookers are not going to know that it's your Chanukiah. They're going to think, maybe it's just for, you know, to light up the place or it's somebody else's. If it's too far away from the door, it's not going to be an effective pirsum hanes for you. Nothing to do with there being a special requirement of where to place the mezuzah. But it's part of the pirsumei nisa. We're afraid it's not going to be effective. It's not in the right spot. But it's not a new additional requirement of placement that's somehow connected to the house or to mezuzah. Nothing to do with that. Rashi downplays it, and for good reason. What would the requirement be? Why would we have a special obligation to place it in a particular spot? Separate from, again, the action of lighting and the pirsum hanes. What could that third thing be? So Rashi downplays the entire thing. In fact, the Sfas Emes, kind of downplaying, I think, a little bit, the significance of the mezuzah and the Eros Chanukah relationship, makes our first suggestion about how to read this din of Ner Chanukah Mismol and Mezuzah Miyamin. The Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, he kind of lived and therefore like really was formative in developing the thinking of, you know, the 20th century and continuing to the 21st century. He died in the first few years of the 20th century. Sfas Emes was a grandson of the Chiddush Arim, but, you know, he also really speaks for himself. What's so interesting about the Sfas Emes is that he was a giant both in the world of Chassidus, but also in the world of Shas and Talmudic halachic analysis. It's a very rare combination for them to do both with integrity and authenticity. When I say integrity, I don't mean being truthful. I mean being really, really being playing to the genres and not mixing in a way that makes the halacha watered down or the Chassidus watered down. His Chassidus is very strong, although I can't say I know too much about that, but his Lumdus is also. You can't really learn Kachim without the commentary of the Sfas Emes. But what's so with the Sfas Emes, this was like a topic he spoke about on like four different years. Over the course of 20 years, is like this question of a mezuzah on the right, Ner Chanukah on the left. This like topic fascinated, and he gave a noob shot every time he looked at it. But he was taken by this. The Avnei Nezer said that, you know, apparently it's reported that the Sakachav, or the Avnei Nezer, had like two bookshelves, one for Rishonim and one for Achronim. But he put the Sfas Emes in the bookshelf with Rishonim, even though the Sfas Emes lived, you know, only like 100 or so years ago. You know, he's obviously not an Achron, he's a Rishon. He's not a Rishon, he's an Achron. But that's just to show you the Sfas Emes. So Sfas Emes here, however, to my dismay, kind of downplays the whole relationship. He says, the reason you have to have the mezuzah on the right and the Chanukah on the left is because of a rule called Ein Osin Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. We don't like to bundle two mitzvos together. So if you would put the Ner Chanukah on the right where the mezuzah obviously is situated, you'd be basically bundling two mitzvos together. And that we don't do in halacha. Comes up in a lot of places in Shas. Anyone familiar with they know some mitzvahs, chavilos, chavilos, an example of it? Hey, man. Good to see you. I didn't see you behind. I don't know your name, but I didn't see. What's your name? Anyway, in the green sweatshirt.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Eitan. So I didn't see Eitan. I didn't see Ben behind you. But anybody familiar? So, yeah. How is that an osim mitzvah? We apply to that?
I mean, they're two separate
mitzvahs, right? No, so there's basically, like, the classic example is, you know, you don't use one koshel bracha to make, you know, two different brachos. So if you ever been at a Sheva brachos, for example, it's a good example, usually it may have two separate kosos, one for the benching and one for the Sheva brachos. We don't want to just use one cup to chap both brachos. And typically this rule is thought of as, the way Tosos and Rashi and Sota say it, Shelo nira mitzvos kimasoi. Mitzvos shouldn't seem like a burden, we're just trying to chap a rain. Oh, I have a cup already? Let me just make two brachos on it. Or, I'm making a bracha anyway, like we say on, you know, sometimes when it's Shabbos and Yom Tov together, so the Gemara wonders, why do we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh, HaShabbos Yisrael Vazmanim? We should just make two separate brachas. It's like we're already saying a bracha anyway, so let's just get Shabbos in, Yom Tov in, everything in. Typically it's when we're already doing something, we don't want it to seem like we wouldn't go the extra step for a new mitzvah. But over here, you know, it seems like the application is a little bit troubling. To say that here we have a problem of osim mitzvos chavilos chavilos. Why? Because if you think about it, you did the mitzvah already. You put up the mezuzah, and you lit the candles. You're not using a single item to fulfill two mitzvos. You lit the candles, and you put up the mezuzah. How is the Sfas Emes invoking osim mitzvos chavilos chavilos? Actually, there are some opinions, the view of one of the Geonim actually, is that the Gemara, the Shita in the Gemara that says you put it on the right, is because dafka, we want to have two mitzvos together. It's even better to double down. What do you mean, ain't osin mitzvos chavilos chavilos? The mitzvos are done. Not like the case of a single kos making two brachos on it. Here you have your menorah, you have your ner chanukah. Yeah, Joey.
For the menorah, don't you have your somebody said for the
Joey, mitokim kidvash, beautiful. So Sfas Emes makes this chiluk. I'm gonna repackage what Joey's saying, but very good, Joey. A real gerayid.
Well,
the Sfas Emes makes the assumption, and he actually spells this out, that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah and mezuzah are not complete until once you do their Maisa mitzvah. You could have thought that the mitzvah of mezuzah is just to put it up on the house. And the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah is just to light the candles. Says the Sfas Emes, the mitzvah, at least for mezuzah, he says, is not over when you think it's over. Because there's still a mitzvah, like Joey's saying, to walk past it, to look at it, and apparently that's a sufficient part of the mitzvah, that we don't want to interfere. We don't want to overcrowd the doorpost. Or I'll add the experience that the mitzvah's mezuzah is supposed to have by sticking in a Ner Chanukah also. And this is very reminiscent of a wonderful Gemara in Menachos. If you look on the third sheet? No, not the third sheet.
Number 9.
If you really, you're going to get this right. Oh yeah, number 9. Very good, Michael. The Gemara says, another Menachos Gemara. I'm getting this all in. Since you guys wanted me to do Gittin this year, I'm like, I got to get my Menachos in. That's what I'm learning.
Are we going to do Perek HaTehillim
over there? Tanu Rabbanan, Chaviven Yisrael, beloved are the Jewish people. They're so beloved. Shesivivan HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mitzvos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu just surrounded the Jewish people with mitzvos. Tfilin b'roshehen, utfilin b'zroosehen. I'm not translating. If someone wants me to translate, please stop me. I mean it. Fitzitzis bibig dehen. You have tefillin, you have tzitzis. Umezuzah lefischehen. We're surrounded by mitzvahs all the time. How beloved are we to Hashem? Ba'alehem amar David. And David said about these, the words in Tehillim, Sheva bayom hilalticha al mishpatei tzidkecha. 7 do I praise every day. 2 for the tefillin, 4 for the tzitzis, one for the mezuzah. Uvishah shenichnas David lebeis hamerchatz. But when David walked into the bathhouse, and he obviously wasn't wearing tefillin, tzitzis, and there was no mezuzah, he was so dejected. He saw himself naked, not just physically, of course, though, that's what happens in a bathhouse. But he was naked for mitzvahs. So he said, Oy li, she'amod aron below mitzvah. I'm standing naked without any mitzvos. The kevan sheniskar b'milov shebivsaron ish yash v'daito. La'achar she'yata amar shira lam natzeach al hashminis. This Gemara is important because David felt like while these things were on him, or while the experience was there, they were still active. The mitzvah goes beyond just the initial moment, but continues to garb us to as like a wardrobe. Shesivivan b'mitzvos. And that's kind of what the assumption that the Sfas Emes is making. That mezuzah, which is also an akimara, is always being surrounded by that, even though you put it up years ago. Is something. But maybe Ner Chanukah as well continues to last. It's at least its influence even beyond the initial Sha'as Hadlaka. There's like a force to it and a momentum, a residual and lasting impact, the existence of Neros Chanukah. That's the Sfas Emes. But the perspective he's taking, while it's exciting from that point of view, clearly downplays this mezuzah Ner Chanukah relationship. It's just a general rule that we can't have two mitzvos bundled together. And in this case, to the two experiences of a mitzvah, effects of a mitzvah bundled together. There is another perspective. But while this perspective is, I would say, a step up from the Sfas Emes, it still doesn't go so far to say there's something uniquely connected between mezuzah and Ner Chanukah. But it's more of a general approach to mitzvos in general. The Sheiltos, Rav Chai Gaon, one of the early, he was one of the Gaonim, so he lived in the 9th century, Pumbedisa. So the Sheiltos has a very interesting formulation when he speaks about our Gemara. He says in source number 8, just above source number 9, you could skip to the bold, that manda amar mismol kasavar, the last bold, where the line of the underline. Kasavar ki hechi tilehave mezuzah miyamin v'ner chanukah mismol. Listen to what he has, because it makes such a big difference. Ubalabayis bitalis mitzuyeses peinayu. Why do you have to have mezuzah on the right and chanukah on the left? You also have to have the guy who walks through the door wearing tzitzis to be surrounded by mitzvos. This relates, adding that is making an implicit reference to the Gemara Menachos we just read. I didn't even realize that I sandwiched it together, but it's good. If you go back to where we left off in the Gemara Menachos in source number 9, the Gemara continues in the second to last full line. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, and this is what the Sheiltos I think is referring to. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, kol sheyesh lo tefillin berosho, Utfilin bizroo, fitzitzis bibigda umezuzah bipischo. He has tefillin on tzitzis and mezuzah. Hakol bechizik shelo yachta. It's a guarantee that he'll never sin. Shenemar v'achut hamishulash, the thrice woven string, lo bimhera yinatek, will not quickly break. V'omer chone malach Hashem saviv lireyav, that the malach Hashem and Cam surrounds himself around the yard, someone who has Yira Shemayim, who's doing these mitzvos. Malach Yira doesn't literally mean an angel, it means it's like his guardian. These things are a protection so that a person doesn't sin. And people make the ha'ara that that's probably what Rav Chai Gaon is referring to. That by adding the mezuzah, it's like that general rule where we want to have all these mitzvos surrounding a person so he doesn't sin. That's also why you have to have the Ner Chanukah on the left side. The same way tzitzis, it's an os, it's a zichron. Also, tefillin is an os, it reminds us. Mezuzah, of course, as well. We need to be surrounded by things that protect us and inoculate us from sin. So that's why you have to put the Ner Chanukah on the left side. So it already highlights that no, you really do need to place Ner Chanukah on the left side. Not Dafka the left. You need to place it on the left side. But not because of the special, unique relationship between mezuzah and Chanukah, because of the general rule of surrounding a person with things that protect him from sin. But the question becomes is, how is Chanukah like the others? We know the other three are reminders. But when I walk by Neros Chanukah, if I'm being honest, I don't necessarily, hopefully by the other three, I do think of my obligations in Torah and Mitzvot. But when I walk by Neros Chanukah, it has the same effect of Chone, Malach, Hashem, Tzivakos, Muchsak, Shelo, Yechta, that I'm not going to sin. How is Neros Chanukah project that reminder that's so necessary? Was that your question, Joey? Yeah. You could ask.
I was going to say, somebody used to have the same weight as acknowledging the mezuzah? Meaning, when I walk through the door and acknowledge the menorah and think about the Nes of Chanukah, does that have like a weight of Maisa Mitzvah the same way that...
Maybe. Maybe.
Was the Sfas Emes trying to say just mezuzah had that effect?
At least just mezuzah. Yeah. That's all you need to say. To say we don't want to... Probably. An important perspective... to try to explain how Neros Chanukah could be inserted into that like very special unit of tefillin, tzitzis, and mezuzah to protect us from mitzvos, really goes back to the story of Chanukah itself. The story of Chanukah really is a celebration of Torah and Shmiros HaMitzvos. The Greeks, it's actually an important historical fact that it actually wasn't the Greek people themselves, but Syrian Greeks, who were Hellenists in the sense that they were influenced and kind of like captured by the entire notion of like Greek culture, religion, but they weren't indigenous to Greece. It was they who kind of... implemented the religious persecution on the Jews. And they were obviously were swept, you know, by the ideas of Hellenism. It was they who felt, were ideologically against, you know, what it is, what it was that the Jewish people stood for. The idea that there would be a sense of like obligations and, you know, unique kind of norms and customs that weren't completely Greek, and didn't identify with the prevailing culture of the time. We spoke a little bit about last year, you know, the concept, the way the Rambam formulates, you know, the problem in those times is like they, or like the in Alanisim, Oske Torah Secha, something like that. And the language of like being Osek in Torah and Mitzvos goes beyond, you know, just performance. It reflects a certain level of commitment and dedication to the pursuit, immersion, in Torah Mitzvos itself. It's that flame that the Greeks were trying to extinguish from the Jewish people. That level of that consuming fire and connection to Torah Mitzvos, it wasn't, as we're all familiar, that the story of Chanukah was not a physical, an approach to physically annihilate the Jewish people, but a spiritual one. To attack their religion and what it was that the Jews found was what gave them the source of meaning in life. But more than that, the story of Chanukah is about how the Jew in any century, we're living now in the 21st century, we have our own, their own Kulturkampf, this own cultural attack that Western society, particularly American society, has on us. Not quite like it was in the times of the Greeks, but throughout our history, the Jew has always been faced with the question of how to protect himself and inoculate himself from becoming a passive consumer of the prevailing culture, its influences and its values. Clearly, we reject that completely. We don't look to the outside world, but we look inward, we look to the Torah, the timelessness of the Torah and Taryag Mitzvos. So the question of how, in fact, to do that when there are appealing parts in culture that sometimes do become somewhat persuasive is the need to sometimes draw a line in the sand to wage a war. We spoke a little bit about this last year. Against the Greeks. The Hashmonaim felt that if they let things go as they would, there would be nothing left of Judaism because the influence of Greek culture, of Hellenism, would just overtake the entire fabric of Jewish society and Jewish adherence. The need to constantly remind ourselves of what it is that we stand for and we believe in is really the only way to ensure that we don't become, over time, a slow drip. Yet, which Yaakov Avinu admits could happen even to him. If you can be exposed to something, and slowly over time, you'll look and you won't even know what happened. If you don't walk by, you don't look, you don't constantly reinforce the behavior and the commitment to the perspective of Torah mitzvot, assimilation, in theory, could happen. We speak of in Ner Chanukah and in the menorah, the Beis Hamikdash, the Ner Tamidi, that flame that always had to be lit in the Beis Hamikdash. It's that concept of Neros Chanukah, our commitment to what we gives us meaning in life, Torah and Shmiras HaMitzvot, really is the symbol of Neros Chanukah. And so in that regard, it really does become part of the unit of Mezuzah Tzitzis and Tefillah. It protects us when we look at it, remind ourselves when we look at it, this Chanukah and every other, what it is that we do. But of course, this is very far from saying that there's something unique about the relationship between Chanukah and Mezuzah. And I want to end really with a third perspective. That maybe, in fact, the role that Neros Chanukah plays is actually very similar to the role that the Mezuzah itself plays. In a very specific way. There's actually a shita, we don't have time to read it inside, but of the Sefer HaManhigim, a very important work of Halacha, who argues the following. Shocking. There's a very controversial question about whether or not Ner Chanukah is also lit in the Beis HaKnesses. After all, we already lit it at home, or we have an obligation for sure to light it at home. So what you may have a bracha l'vatala issue, other issues. Do we light in the Beis HaKnesses? Our minhag is too. There's a big discussion in the Rishonim, in the Poskim. But he makes a suggestion about why you might not light Neros Chanukah in a shul. Anyone want to guess? Why am I bringing it up in this year? It's a good question to be aware of. He makes this argument, this is probably why none of you thought of it, because it's shocking. That because there's no obligation to put a mezuzah on a shul, there must not be an obligation to have Neros Chanukah either. In other words, he thinks that for the very same reason a person needs a mezuzah on their home, they also need a Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah, in other words, plays the same role as the mezuzah. But I want to ask, is it the exact same role? Or is it a parallel opposite role? A right and left role? I only have time to make one point about the role of Hashkacha, Hashkacha Pratis, in the Chanukah story, but I also think this in theory could relate to Yichud Hashem and Avas Hashem, which maybe for another time we'll speak about. But for the moment, one of the major perspectives when it comes to mezuzah, well, after all, why does the mezuzah have to be where on the house and where it is on the house? Why the first parsha of Shema and Vahayim Shamoa, what's it doing there? What are we supposed to be thinking about when we walk by the mezuzah? It's possible to explain that the mezuzah is answering this a very important question about the philosophy of Judaism. You know, throughout history, cultures and different religions have asked the question of where the place of God, of the divine being, if there is one, where does God belong in the universe? Sometimes this is referred to transcendentalism versus immanence, with an A, not immanent, but immanence. Is the Ribono Shel Olam out of reach, beyond, in the cosmos, unreachable to human beings? Or is the Ribono Shel Olam right here, all the time, accessible? And many religions, Greek philosophy more than any others, beginning with Aristotle, was that of course the Ribono Shel Olam, which he believed in, may not have called him that, created the universe, but he's what we call sometimes, maybe people are familiar with, the unmoved mover. That God may have created the world, but he doesn't take interest in its day-to-day affairs. When it comes to mezuzah, the whole point is to say the Ribono Shel Olam, from the second you hit your house, believe it or not, the Ribono Shel Olam is involved and provides protection to you on an individual level. It's true that Judaism kind of finds itself in between. Sometimes we speak of the unbridgeable gap between man and God. He's out of reach, we can't access him, he's just beyond comprehension. But at the same time, Judaism also believes that the Ribono Shel Olam is involved and cares about the individual and can be reached, can be accessed through Torah and mitzvot. We can have a connection with him and a bond with our Creator. The mezuzah is there to remind the Jew every time he walks by that God is in his home, which also means you have to be careful what you do there. But the Ribono Shel Olam is part of your life. He passes over. He's there. He's in the home. There's a level of hashkacha. When it comes to the story of Hanukkah, Greek culture, Hellenistic thinking, as I mentioned, Aristotle just a minute ago, they felt that God has no place here. It's consistent with the philosophy of Protagoras, which according to Plato, said that man is the measure of all things. We don't get our morals from any divine or timeless divine being, but human beings through logic and reason can formulate the values that they should live by. Man is the measure of all things. Was central to Greek thinking. There's no God here. It's man. It's a universe which is anthropocentric, where human beings are at the center of it. As opposed to the universe we live in, where God is at the center and meaningfulness is dictated by the ability to have a connection, develop a bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of Neros Chanukah and the story, if you think about it, of Chanukah itself is a complete rejection of that philosophy. There is Hashkacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does care and intervene in the affairs of man. The same way you need to have a mezuzah as your reminder when you walk in your home, you also need to have Neros Chanukah. But I just want to conclude by saying maybe, though they're similar, they kind of work in opposite directions, literally and figuratively. The symbolism of Hashkacha when it comes to the mezuzah is needed when a person retires and retreats into his abode, into his home, to understand that the things that are going to happen in his house with his family, behind closed doors, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in all that on a personal, very personal level. So when you walk in on the right, it's the first thing you see. You remind yourself of that. But maybe the Neros Chanukah is more an emphasis of the other direction. Because when you leave your house, if it's on the left, then it means it's on the right when you leave. And what you're supposed to be when you enter the big and scary universe, the world, society, think that God, the Ribono Shel Olam, also meddles and impacts the affairs of man. And both of these have their advantages and disadvantages. Sometimes it's much easier for us to feel and experience Hashem's Hashkacha on a personal level. When something happens directly to us and we see the hand of God, it's easy to relate to that God cares about me, my family. As opposed to if something happens in the world, in history, hard to connect to that, hard to see the divine intervention. But the opposite is true as well. Sometimes a person can go into the thinking, like me, I'm just one person. Hashem really cares. But society, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intervening in. Grand scale. And so it's possible that these two symbols, though they both project the Jewish philosophy of Hashkacha Pratis, they have been maybe in parallel opposite ways in different directions. But the story of Chanukah, I'll just conclude, important to us when we think we see our Neros Chanukah, in addition to the triage question of Einos and Mitzvos, Chavilos, Chavilos, to also think about the commitment, the steadfast and unbridled commitment to Torah and Shmiras HaMitzvos, and also this profound and deep sense of Hashkacha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes in every single thing that the Jew, the Jews, and that mankind in general is involved in. And with this message, the light of Chanukah, There's no better a place, and of course a place it needs, of Ner Chanukah Mismol and Mezuzah Miyamin. Everyone should have a great Chanukah whenever it actually is.